We're holding on Fuf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the second law. We're in the middle of discussing. We learned yesterday a statement of Rav Chisda that if a person damages or eats the Matnas Kahuna, the Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva, which are the subject of our parah, then he would be potter from paying. And he said the one reason would be, so one reason was because of a mute in the pasuk, and the other reason was because it was called Mamon She'en Lo Tovim. There's no particular claimant of this property or this money in the sense that there's no particular reason that it belongs to one Kohen more than another. So we've been going, the Gemara's been going back and forth with proofs all about that. So now the Gemara continues, Toshma, let's bring another. And again, in this whole sugya, we're assuming that Matnas Kahuna, that we're assuming that all that various Matnas Kahuna, and even we're going to talk about Matnas Aniyim as well, are all in the same basic category. It's all the same general idea. They're all Momen Shein Leitovim, they're all money or property where there's no specific claimant for it. There's no specific Kohen who's entitled to these Matones of any of the 24 Matnas Kahuna more than any others, and the same thing with the Aniyim. So the Gemara says, suppose that people from the government grab somebody's the contents of somebody's granary. So he had harvested his grain and all that, and then agents of the government came and took it away from him before he had a chance to separate Truma and Maisa. So in Bechoivo, if it's because he actually owes them money, he actually owes them back taxes or whatever, and therefore they're collecting the grain to pay for the tax. So it comes out now the grain contains Truma and Maisa that he hadn't separated yet. So it comes out. Let's say, for example, they took 100 bushels of grain from him to pay for his debt. It comes out of that 100. Two of them were supposed to belong to the Kohen, and about 10 of them were supposed to belong to the Levi. Or three of them to the Kohen, actually, because really you have Truma and Truma's Meister. Whatever. So then Chayev Lasser, so then it comes out, so then he's Chayev to give Meister on it from another batch of grain, the amount of the Truma and Meister that he would have had to give. So in other words, exactly that. We have to consider out of what the government took from him, in principle, 88 of it belonged to him in the first place, fine, but the other 12 were supposed to belong to the Kohen and the Levim, and therefore he's going to have to give Meiser on behalf of that from someplace else. There's a bit of discussion, and how can he do that when it's not in his possession anymore? How can he even take Truma and Meiser on behalf of it? So one point is that maybe, first of all, in fact, maybe he is required to take Meiser before the government takes it. Like, in other words, he's going to have to tell them, wait, let me separate out Truma and Meiser, and then you can take it. And in that case, they'd only be taking 88, and he'd have to, if they actually owes them 100, he'd have to supply 12 more of his own. Another possibility is, anyway, another possibility is Hefka based in Hefka. So the Chazanish brings both of those considerations, and both of those might be reasons why we require him to take Meiser and what we mean that he's going to take Meiser. In any case, the imban porus, but if they took it for nothing, they're just being extortionists, and there's no particular reason that they should be taking potter malasa, then he's potter from taking maisa, because then it's the equivalent of him having been robbed. So what are we saying? If it was b'choivo, if it was because of his death, then chayiv l'aser, then he has to take ma'aser. Now, what does that mean, that he has to take ma'aser? If it wasn't that he has to pay it, then what chiyuv mitzvah would there be? On the face of it, Rashi says there's nothing left by him. So, in other words, the assumption is that they took all of his grain, so they have nothing to take ma'aser from. And if nevertheless we're saying that he does, that must mean that it is momen shiyach l'aytovim. It is considered money that actually belongs to somebody, and therefore a particular kohen could take him to Beis Din and say, you have to pay off this truma and mice. So, and therefore, we require him to do that. So, wouldn't that show not like Rufista? And the answer is no. Shiny Hosn become a Shtaushilei. The answer is because over there he is actually gaining. We're not talking about when we say that he's chayev to give. We mean he's chayev in the sense of the regular field that a person has to give mice. So, not that Beis Din is going to force him. It means, in other words, because he's gaining out. Because after all, otherwise he would have had to pay the king's agents in money or in some other kinds of goods. Now, this he's gaining the value of that 12 bushels. That he's not having to give them, so therefore, well then, so in that case, it's not a matter of moment sheyesh leitovin and moment shein leitovin. The fact is, he's gained that he didn't have to pay that, and therefore we're going to tell him, you have to take truma and meiser. again, we could argue it's only Derabbanan, but nevertheless, he still is going to have to. So that doesn't show that it's moment yesh lo tovim. That doesn't show that if a particular Kohen took him to Beis Din and said, you didn't give Truma and Maisa, that Beis Din would say, well, go ahead and give it to this Kohen. He could very well say, well, there's no particular reason. You, Mr. Kohen, are entitled to it more than any other Kohen. So still no proof against Rav Chista. Okay. And Gemara says, Toshma, fine, let's bring another proof. We're going to learn in a Mishnah, in the continuation of the Perek, talking about, again, about Matonis, about the Zerah L'Chayayim Bekeva. So Mishnah says, Omaloi, suppose a person says to a butcher, Mecholi B'nei Me'er Shapora, sell me the kishlus, the internal organs of this cow for X amount. Now suppose among those intestines, among those internal organs, is the Keva, which is supposed to go to the Kohen. So then, so what happens? So can he tell the butcher, well, then you sold me something that doesn't belong to you? No, still the Kohen. The customer has to give that cave up to the Kohen. The Ainim and Nakal, and then I've done him. The butcher is not required to deduct from the price because look, the buyer knew that there was Matonis over there. He didn't, so in effect, you can say that the storekeeper sold him a bunch of internal organs. The buyer should realize that among them is the kava, and he shouldn't be and he should be telling the butcher at the time that in that case then you have to give that to the kohen. What are you? Well, you can't charge me for it. As opposed to we'll learn in the Mishnah tomorrow about Hashem that if you bought them by weight, then that's different. If you bought them by weight, then it's different. But if he just buys them by number or in general, you know, I'm buying all the kishkis, then we're saying he has to give them, and he's not entitled to a reduction in the price. Well, that's actually the Mishnah continues. We have right here, Loka Chemed of a Mishvel. On the other hand, if he bought it by weight, Noisin Lakoyin, the buyer still has to give it to the Koyin, or Menachal, I mean, I've done it, but now he is entitled to a reduction in the price. Now he can say to the butcher, I bought 10 pounds of meat, but 1 pound is that cave, so therefore you can charge me only for 9. In the case, so why should he have to give the cave? Why should he have to give it? In either case, shouldn't it be the equivalent of this case of Rav Chista's where he damaged or ate the Matnas Kohona, and where we don't require him to pay? Why over here are we requiring him to give it to the cave? So the answer is shiny husband, based on Ubay Nai. Because the difference is here the caver is still in charge. So the same way as the butcher himself would have had to give it to the Kohen, the same way when he sells it to a customer, the same way he would have to the same way the customer would have to give it to the Kohen. But different when the Matnas Kohona no longer exists, because they were eaten or damaged or whatever, that would be different. Okay. So still no proof one way or the other about Rav Chista's game. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. Tisha Nitzei Kohen. There are 9 things which are the Nefasim, which are the property of a Kohen. Meaning, we're going to learn later on in the parrot, there's 24 Matnas Kohona. But of them, not all of them are considered the property of a Kohen for all purposes. For example, a Kohen is entitled to many different parts of the Korbanos, but we don't call it his mamon in the sense that, for example, a Kohen is not going to be allowed to, a Kohen wouldn't be allowed, let's say, to take the piece of that he got of a chatas or an osham or whatever and sell it. First of all, nobody except the Kohen can eat it anyway, and you can only eat it in the Bis Mikdash. But besides that, anyway, it's not really considered his mamon for that kind of purpose. Hashem grants him the right to eat it, but not that it's actually considered his. But here the Braise is saying there are 9 things which are in fact Nichsei Kohen. They literally are the property of the Kohen. And therefore, as we're going to go on to say, the Kohen can do whatever he wants with it. Now Rashi says, first of all, I don't know where this Braise is from, but second of all, Rashi says there seem to be a lot of different Gersois in this Gemara, in this Braise, about how many there are. Rashi says, you know, he was saying there were 9, but really when you break it down, there seems to be a lot more than 9. So Rashi says, okay, maybe what it is is we're kind of combining together, and we're saying there are some of them that even though the Braisa lists them out separately, we're treating them as though they're separate. Okay, the Tosfos brings a Gersa that's not 9, but rather 7. In any case, we're not listing all the Matnas Kohuna over here. We're only listing things that on the one hand are also for non-Kohenim to eat, and on the other hand, they are considered the property of the Kohen for purposes, as we're going to say soon.
Anyway, the mission of the Braisa list, Truma, or Truma's Meiser. So for example, so let's take Truma as an example. A Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. A Zor is not allowed to eat Truma. It's considered the property of the Kohen in the sense that the Kohen could actually go and sell the Truma to another Kohen if he wants, and the other Kohen can. So there's no restriction again, unlike let's say for example Chatas and Asham, where the Kohen can't sell his pieces of the Chatas and Asham to somebody else, but when it comes to Truma he's put, so that's Truma or Truma's Meiser, V'chala. Chala is in the same category as well. It's also considered a type of truma. Rachis agaz, the rachis agaz, the first chewings of the animal, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, and we're going to talk about a little bit yesterday, and we're going to learn in more detail in the next parak b'Hashem about the mitzvah of rachis agaz, that you have to give the first, you have to give some of the shearings of the wool of your sheep to a kohen. So that umatonis, the matonis, the zeri l'chayim b'keva, that are the subject of this parak, the dmai and meiser, and then trumas meiser dmai. Now dmai is you have all over shas. We have that there came a point when the chachamim couldn't be sure that the amei oretz are careful in taking truma or taking meiser. So truma, they found all the amei oretz are in fact taking all the amei oretz are reliably taking truma, so they didn't have to worry about that. But the Amei Oretz are not necessarily careful about Meiser, and that includes also Trumas Meiser, which is taken out of the Meiser. So the result is, eventually the Chachamim had to make a rule that when you buy produce from an Amei Oretz, then you have to take Truma and Meiser from it to be on the safe side. Not Truma, you have to take Meiser from it on the safe side, but you also have to take Truma, you have to take Truma's Meiser as well. Now the Truma itself, and so the Meiser itself, actually you're allowed to, the Meiser itself for the most part you're allowed to keep, because we can say Hamotz Mechavel Varaya. If a lady comes and says this Meiser is supposed to belong to me, you can tell him, well, bring proof that this Amei Oretz I bought the produce from didn't take Meiser. And then I'll give you the Meiser. Fine. So you can't require him to give the Meiser to the Levi. On the other hand, Trumas Meiser has Kedusha. You do have to give it to the Kohen. So the result is that you do have to take off Trumas Meiser and give it to the Kohen. So again, it's considered the Kohen's property. Bikorim is the same thing. Keren v'Achoymish. And the Keren v'Achoymish, which is the case. Of Gezel Hager, which is the case, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra and in Bava Kama, based on Psukim in Parshas Bamidbar, that if you have a regular case in Parshas Vayikra, you have a case where a person swore falsely to somebody else that he doesn't owe him money, and later on he's ready to give Shuvah, then he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh and bring a Korban Osham, but normally that Keren V'Chomesh goes to the person that he stole from, or if that person died, and give it to his heirs, etc. Now, you have in Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Nosei, rather, it talks about where a person has no Yoshin, he has no heirs, and that refers to a Ger, because a Ger, unless he had children, has no Yoshin, he's not considered to be related to his birth family anymore. So now, instead, the Torah tells us that Keren B'Choymah has to go to the Koryan instead. So that's another thing, that's another type of property, another type of Nechosin that goes to the Koryan. So Rashi points out that you seem to have, though the problem is that you seem to have a number of other things that really ought to be in that category as well. Why don't we also include, for example, a Bechor Baal Mum? Why don't we include a Bechor that's Tom? Fine, you have to bring another Korban, but a Baal Mum, the Kohen, shechts and eats wherever he wants. Why don't we count that? Why don't we count various cases of fields of Hekdesh? Why don't we count Pidyon Aben, Pidyon Petach Hamor, etc.? So Rashi actually says that it seems that when it says, for example, it says Truma, Truma's Meiser, and Dmai, and Chala, all of that would count as one thing, really, because all of those are varieties of Truma. And then Bechor, Pidin Aben, and Pidin Petach Hamor would all count as one. He goes forth, and therefore you have that he says altogether there are really 15 that are considered nichse koyin, but really if you combine together some of them like we're doing, then you're able to get to a list of 9. Tosfos again has a list of 7 and says that no, maybe not. For example, we're mentioning things that are also to zorin and which are the property of the koyin. So we're counting matones because we're going to learn later on in the perek that there is even an opinion that you're not allowed to eat from the animal before you take out the matones, even though that's not the halacha. So our braisa could be going to that. And also, we don't mention b'chur because the fact is you do need the shecht at first, and we're talking about things that are ready to eat as is. Anyway, so now when we're saying that they're nichsei koyin, lamai, as far as what are they nichsei koyin? Are they the property of the koyin? Lav lotzien b'dayonim. Wouldn't that mean as far as taking them away with the dayonim, which again goes back to then it means they really are, that it really is something that can be collected and based in, not like Rechista says. And the answer is, well, that's not what it means. Look at it's none, but rather, as far as what we learn in a Mishnah in Masech Tebikurim, Lama Omru, or Lama Omru, as far as what purpose did the Chacham say Nifse Koyin, that the Korim, which it talks about over there, are the property of the Koyin. And then once we know the answer to that, then it'll apply to all the things that we had in the Braisa just now. So it means Shekoyin Behen Avodim Bakakosh Behematmeya means that the Koyin does not have to spend it dash on food. Now let's say, for example, you consider Maisa Cheney, the din with Maisa Cheney money is you have to spend it dash on food items. But when it comes to a Bechor, when it comes to Bikurim, it's not so. The Koyin can sell that Bikurim to another Koyin and buy with that money. Avodim, slaves, Bekakois, or land, or Behemoth Tmeya, or non-kosher animal, even though none of those things are edible, but at least, in other words, you have that he could conceivably sell them and then use the money to buy something edible, so he's allowed to do that. He'd be allowed to sell the Bikurim and use it to buy one of these, And if the Koyan owes somebody money, then somebody can go and take the Bikurim from him in payment of the debt. So if the creditor himself, if the Baal Choyv himself is a Koyan, then fine, he can eat the Bikurim. If not, then he'd have to, if he's a Yisrael or a Levi, he'd have to sell them to another person. But in a case he's able to do that, the Isha B'Ksubasa, likewise a woman can collect them, his wife can collect them for her Ksuba, if the Koyan dies or divorces her. So she'd be allowed to take that in the ksuba payment. Usually we have in various places in Shas where the ksuba is usually collected from land, not from a taltalin. Fine, so the Rosh explains that we're talking about over here according to an opinion that she can collect from the taltalin. Eventually, in the times of the Goyim, they made a takana that a woman can always collect her ksuba from the taltalin, but that was hundreds of years after the Bishnefesh was destroyed, so therefore that's not relevant to the din we're talking about over here as far as the wife being able to collect her ksuba from the Bikurim, the Sefer Torah and a Sefer Torah. So Rashi understands what that means, in other words, that the Koyan is allowed to buy a Sefer Torah with the money from the Bikurim. Again, he can sell the Bikurim to another Koyan and use the money to buy a Sefer Torah. Rashi points out, the point is, again, even though it's something that's not eaten and it's not something that ever leads to something that's eaten, but then Rashi wonders, then why bother mentioning it? We already mentioned Avodin and Behemoth Tmeya, which are also in the same category. So there's an explanation, actually, that what it means is, so the Rosh explains the point. So one point is, though, that the fact is, one point is that the fact is that unlike, for example, Avodim or Behemoth Tmeya, where you could sell it, the fact is there's only very limited circumstances under which you could sell a Sefer Torah. So therefore, you could argue that really in that case, that it's really even more removed from the concept of food, it's really more removed from the concept of food even than Avodim or Behemoth Tmeya or Karka or whatever, because you can't even sell the Sefer Torah in order to buy food. There's only certain limited cases where you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. However, in any case, Rashi says that Rashi still wonders about that, but that is one explanation precisely because of that. The very fact that you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah means, nevertheless, it's still, the chiddush is still that you're allowed to do that. The Rosh gives another explanation. It means it goes back to the creditor. The same way as a creditor is allowed to take the Bikurim, the same way if a person has a Sefer Torah and he owes somebody money, then the creditor is allowed to collect the Sefer Torah from him in payment of it. And in any case, the point is that we see from that Mishnah that Bikurim are considered the property of the Kohen for all these kinds of purposes. And the same thing we're saying, all the other things listed in that Braisa, Trumas, Trumas Maisa, Chala, etc., are all in the same category, and they're considered fully the property of the Kohen, but not necessarily insofar as that if the Yisrael still has Truma or Trumas Maisa, etc., that a Kohen should be able to sue him in Beis Din and say, give me the Truma or the Chala or whatever. That's still not, because like Rav Chisda says, it's Mom and Shein Lo Tovim, there's no particular claimant of it because it doesn't belong to one Kohen more than any other. So at that point, then the Gemara drops the discussion, and apparently we haven't found any proof against the Chisda, and the Halacha is in fact like him, that if a person damages or eats the Matnas Kohona, then he would be potter from paying. So if, with some Matnas Kohona, such as Truma or Chala, if he eats them, he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim. We're not getting into that right now, but the point, and with Truma, you have a special din, where if he eats it b'shoigig, then he's obligated to pay keren b'choymish of produce of the same type, which then becomes truma. But that's a special thing. That's a matter of kapara. So again, if the truma or chala or whatever or matonis or whatever are actually in the already in the possession of a kohen, then there's no question they're considered moment of his like any other. And if a person steals it or eats it, he's obligated to pay, or damages it, he's obligated to pay. But here we're talking about where it's not in the hands of a kohen yet. And therefore he has a mitzvah to separate it, but if he didn't, and instead he ate it or whatever, then he's potter from paying because his mom and shame they took him. Continuing on this topic of the matanos, the Gemara says, "Ahu leva." There was a certain levi dava chotif matnase. He was grabbing the matanos. He was grabbing these. He was grabbing these zroil chayim v'keva. So Rashi says in particular, people would send their children. A person would shecht an animal, and then he would send with his child. He would send the zroil chayim v'keva to give it to a kohen, and this levi would go and grab it from them. Now there are achronim. The Bach, for example, talks about the Gemara is going to talk about now the question of whether Leviim are actually obligated to give the Zeroy Lechayayim Bekeva in the first place. There is even an interesting opinion of the Bach that says even though the Pasuk says for the Koyanim, he learns that it means that they would actually be entitled to the matonis. In other words, like this, so the pasuk says, "V'zeyia mishpat ha-koyinim me'esa'am." This is going to be the law, the rule for the koyinim from the people, me'esav chazavach, from the people who shecht animals, be'im shodim seh, whether cattle or flocks. And then nosam l'koyin azuri l'chayim v'akev, and then he has to give the koyin azuri l'chayim v'akev. So the question is, the Gemara is going to say, are Leviim included in om? Are Leviim included in me'es ha'om from the people? Does that include just Yisraelim, or does it include Leviim as well? So that's the Gemara is going to discuss now. So the Bach takes up an interesting point. If we say that they're potter because they're not considered part of the Om, maybe indeed they're even entitled to these matanos, and therefore maybe, in other words, maybe when this guy takes the Zeroy L'Chayayim Mekeva, then he would actually be entitled, he would actually be entitled to them. On the other hand, most other Rishonim and Achronim learn. No, the question would just be whether Leviim have to give them, but there's no question they're not entitled to them, because the fact is they're not Koyanim. Anyway, so this guy was doing this. This guy was grabbing them from children. An important point why dafka children is because if it was adults, then you would have more reason to say that he should have to give it back. Namely like this. We're going to be talking about as follows. It is true we've been establishing so far that the matanos are not the property of any individual kohen. So therefore what you have is that on the other hand, the Yisrael is not supposed to keep them for himself. So you have what's called toivas hana. In halacha, you have sometimes something that you're required to give, but we're going to have an example as far as matnas anim, we're going to talk about it soon, but you have the choice of who to give it to. That choice itself sometimes can be considered to have a monetary value. We're going to talk about eventually that, for example, let's say, for example, with the Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva. So first of all, you have the ability, again, to decide which Kohen you should give it to, but it means also, conceivably, you can have Reuven is shechting an animal. Shimon, who's not a Kohen either, goes over to Reuven and says, you know what, let me give you a few dollars, and this way, instead of giving the Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva to whatever Kohen you want, you'll give it to my grandson who's a Kohen, let's say. So that kind of thing is Tovus Hanah can sometimes actually have monetary implications as well. So here the point is that the owner has Tovus Hanah because he can decide who to give the Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva to. But if it, so there's a point that a sort of a pirush on Armasecha called the Dur Revi points out that if he's sending them with a child, then it shows he doesn't care that it goes to a particular kohen. He just wants to give it to the kohen, and therefore, so otherwise he would have sent it. Well, otherwise he would have sent it with an adult who taka could keep it from being grabbed away. So therefore, so you can argue it's disrespectful to the mitzvah, but now, but nevertheless, if a kohen took it, b'di'evad, there's no question he'd be able to keep it, because there's no toivas hanah involved over here. The only twist is that here it's a levi and not a kohen. Well, also, Omnele, the rav that came and told the rav what's going on. Omnele, who's there? He says, lo mistayad le shaklin minei. Does he not consider it sufficient that we don't take the matonis from him, as the Gemara is now going to discuss why not? Ela mechtef na michotef. He's even grabbing it from others. In other words, yes, we have to stop him. We have to prevent him from doing that kind of thing. Again, we can talk about maybe, according to the Bach, he would actually be entitled, maybe he would actually be entitled to them. According to most other Rishonim and Acharonim, we would say that not. But in any case, we've got to stop him from grabbing it away from these kids. So the Gemara asks the Rav, so what does Rav mean when he says, shouldn't he consider it enough that we don't take it away from him? Well, e ikru om, if the Levim are considered part of Am, when the Pasuk says in the Esa om, you're going to say that includes Levim as well. Mishkol nami, lishkol minayu. Well, then we should be taking it from them. Why is Rav saying that we don't? The Ela Ikru Am, and if they're not called part of the people, if Me'isa Am means only the Yisraelim, Rachmana Patrina, well then the Torah is saying they're Potter. And again, according to the Bach, you have this interesting idea that maybe if the Torah is Pattering them, maybe even the Torah is saying they're actually entitled to it. In any case, the point is, so what is Rav saying? Shouldn't he consider it enough that we don't take it from him? What do you mean shouldn't he consider it enough? Either he's Chayav or he's not. So the answer is misfactually, as a matter of fact, Rav has a suffix, are the Levim considered part of on, part of the people, or not? Well, therefore, so it's the usual rule, you want to take it from the Levi, you're going to have to prove that the word Me'esa on does in fact include Levim as well. So now Rav is saying, look, you know, on the face of it, we could say, because of the, we could have forced him nevertheless to give it, and we're not, because Amotzi Mechavel Avaraya, why is he not satisfied with that? Why is he grabbing it from these kids for himself? Okay. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rapapa v'kamal Allah Shmaiter. Rapapa was sitting and saying over this teaching, this discussion. A sweet of Idi Ba'oven, not Rapapa, but of Idi Ba'oven asked Rapapa a question from which we're going to see on the face of it, why should there be a suffix whether Levim are chayev in these matonis? And why should we, so we're going to go through a whole braisa over here, and we're going to show that on the face of it, it's requiring the Levi to give the matnas kohona to the kohen, to give the zroi l'chayayim v'keva to the kohen. But we're first going to go through, by way of a detour, we're going to first talk about the matnas aniyim. So, Arab matnas aniyim shabakarim. So the braisa starts off by saying there are four gifts for the poor that are given from a vineyard. A peret, individual grapes that fall off when you're harvesting, va'olulus, small, immature clusters of grapes, the usual rule, the Yerushalmi in Masechta Peah explains, a normal cluster of grapes has what's called kosef and netef. Kosef means like you have the cluster is wider at the top and resembles shoulders. And you have one grape on top of another, and nutaf is as you go down, then they hang down. So in other words, it looks like what we usually think of as the shape of a cluster of grapes. So oilolus have neither. Oilolus are, you have a few individual grapes hanging directly off the main stem of the vine. So the Torah tells us those have to be given to the poor people. Bashikha, then you have if you forget to harvest part of the vineyard, or if you gathered up a pile of clusters, and then you forgot it, so then you have to give it to the poor people. Vapeya, and you have to give peya. So those are four things. So those are four things that you have to from a vineyard that you have to give to a poor person. The shalosh shvatvur. Then you have within grain there are three halakat vashut chavapeya. So you have leket, which is the equivalent of peret in the sense that leket is individual, one or two individual stalks that fall off during the harvesting. Shitcha corresponds to shitcha. Peya corresponds to peya. But there's no equivalent of oilless when it comes to grain. Shnayim shabihilon. Then you have two things that apply to other trees other than grapes. Hashitcha v'apeya, only shitcha and peya. There's no oilless by other trees, and there's no leket even. So the Braisi says, kol ein behem tervas hanoah labaylam. None of them have tervas hanoah, in the sense, in other words, the owner can't decide who he gives it to. The first poor person that comes has to be given it, or the poor people even can come and collect it themselves, even if the owner doesn't want to. Even the poorest Jew, if he has a vineyard or a field or whatever, then he has to give it to the poor. We can't say, in other words, that he can say, well, I'm poor myself, I should be entitled. No, he can't take the matnas aniyim from his own field. Continues the Braisa, Maisa Oni Hamaschalik Besach Besoy. On the other hand, when you have Maisa Oni, that's divided up in the house. So in other words, Rashi explains, when it comes to, we're talking about Maisa Oni over here, you go through the whole processing of the grain, you bring it into the house, and you thresh it and whatever, and then you give Maisa Oni from it to the Aniyim. So now there is Tova Sanah, now you have the ability to decide which poor person should get it. So that's what Rashi points out. Tosfos also points out that actually there are two different kinds of maisa. There are two different kinds of maisa oni. Sometimes you have, it can be divided in the granary, and then we're saying there's no tovas hanah, it's whoever comes to the granary first gets it. On the other hand, then you have the kind that is divided, that's divided in the house. So in other words, the point of Rashi, all maisa oni is divided in the house, and therefore you have tovas hanah. The Tosfos and most other Rishonim learn that it means that there is actually two different kinds of Maisa Oni. Depends whether you're giving it out in the granary versus in the house. One point is the Rishonim bring from Sifri that there would be a difference between the winter and the summer. In the winter time, if you leave it in the granary, it's going to get ruined. So then bring it to your house, and then you have Tovas Hanah for the fact that you brought it home. Then Hashem grants you the right to give it to whatever oni you want, and you can decide, as opposed to in the summertime, leave it in the field, and the people will come get it themselves, and then there's Tovas Hanah. There's no Tovas Hanah. So now, the Braisi says, Maisa Oni Amschalik Vasech Beisei, so Maisa Oni that is divided up, that's distributed in the house, Yeshbo Tovas Hanah Labaylan, now there is Tovas Hanah, the owner is entitled to decide which Oni gets it, and therefore, Vafila Oni Shavisra, however, Vafila Oni Shavisra, Mithinos Miyade, nevertheless though, even a poor person, even if the field owner himself is poor, we're still going to take it away from him, and we're going to require him to give it to poor people. Tosfos points out that, first of all, Rashi points out, actually, what does it mean? It has Tovas Hanah, again, that somebody else can tell you, here's a couple of dollars, and please give your Maisa Oni to my relative who's poor. He'd be entitled to do that, because there is Tovas Hanah, he's entitled to decide which poor person should get it. Tosfos says, another point is, even when there's Tovas Hanah, so if there's Tovas Hanah, then if a poor person takes it without his permission, then we force that poor person to give it back, and he can decide which person to give it to, as opposed to if there's no Tovas Hanah, then we're not going to take it away from him. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, if the poor person on his own comes and asks you for this Maisa Oni or whatever, you actually, Tosfos learns, you're not actually obligated to give to him, because we've told before, it's Mom and Shein like Tovim, there's no particular person who has a claim on it more than any other. So now it continues the Brai. So far we've covered Matnas Aniyim. So far we've covered the different kinds of Matnas Aniyim. Give me just a second, please. Okay. All right, resuming. So far we've talked about the Matnas Aniyim. So again, some of them, you don't have Tovas Hanah, you have to give it to whatever poor person comes first. Or Tosfos says, fine, maybe you don't have to give it to the first poor person who comes, but at least if he takes it on his own, then you can't take it away from him. Now let's talk about a Shah Matnas Kohona. What about the rest of the Matnas Kohona? Or not really the rest of the Matnas Kohona, we haven't talked about Matnas Kohona in this Braisa. Until now, it really means the rest of the Matonis in general. So all Kagoinas Royal Al Kayaim Vakeva. For example, Zroyal Khayaim Vakeva, that was saying So for example, Zoray Lachayim Vakeva, Ein Metzia Noisim Yodo, Lemi Koyen Lekoyen, Velemi Levi Levi. So we don't force one Koyen to give it to another Koyen, and we don't force one Levi to give it to another Levi. Now, this is what we're going to ask. So on the face of it, we're saying you don't force a Levi to give it to a Levi, but that seems to imply that we do force a Kohen to give it, we do force a Levi to give it to the Kohen. So that's what we're going to ask afterwards. That's what the Gemara is going to ask afterwards. That doesn't that mean, as we said, doesn't that mean then that the Levi is in fact required to give it? Okay. So now, first let's explain the Braisa, and then we'll explain the actual detailed question on Rav. So, So we're saying you have four gifts in a vineyard, peret, olus, shikha, and peya. So, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, v'charma cholos ha'olul, do not take the olus, do not take the undeveloped clusters of grapes from your vineyard, or feret, charma cholos ha'laket, do not take the peret, the individual grapes that fall off when you're harvesting. Then you have in a different place. The Torah says, "Kisiv to kaimacha." When you harvest your vineyard, lois to oil acharecha. Do not take the oilless behind you. Leave them for the poor people, etc. Well, Amar Rav Levi acharecha zushitcha. So Rav Levi explains the word acharecha is the source for the mitzvah of shitcha. Acharecha literally means behind you. So it means, in other words, as the Rashi brings from the relevant Mishnayos in Peah, that the definition of shitcha is when you passed by a certain place and didn't harvest it or didn't take it or whatever, then it's considered shitcha. Then it's considered you forgot it. So therefore, the word acharecha refers to shitcha, and we see that applies to vineyards as well. Peya, and how do we know you have to get peya from a vineyard, is goma acharecha, acharecha mizayis, because we use gzeira shava on the word acharecha from olive trees. Whereby olive trees, dichtiv, the pasuk says, kisach v'gzeischa, when you beat your olives, the way that you harvest an olive tree is to beat the tree and knock off the olives. So when you do that, lo sefire acharecha, do not sefire after you. And what does that mean? V'tonet v'eda v'shmo, shalei titol tif'ar kemimenu. Do not take its glory off it. The glory of the olive tree is the olives that grow on it, so don't take all of that. Rashi points out that sometimes you have verbs in Hebrew that can mean two different opposite actions, both of which involve that thing. So, for example, let's say you have the word shirdish in Hebrew. So the using shirdish as a verb can mean to cause something to be rooted, or on the other hand, Rashi explains it can also mean to be uprooted. There are other examples like that. So now when it says loisef fire acharecha, means do not glorify the tree, but on the contrary, don't take away the glory from the tree, namely by taking all the olives. So we see from that you have to leave peah. And then we have gzeira shava on the word acharecha, that the same thing applies to grapevines. So there we go. That's how we learn that peah applies to grapevines as well. So altogether, then, as we said, we have four matnas aniyim that come from grapevines. Tosfos says not really gzeira shava, because the fact is we need the words to tell it. We need the word acharecha to tell us about shicha. So it's not really gzeira shava. It's really a gilui milsa ba'alma. It's really just informing us that the same rules that apply to one apply to the other. And then also Tosfos says, because why does it have to say the word acharecha to represent shicha? It could use some other phrase. So therefore it means it's available for the gzeira shava. Fine. So that takes care of grapevines. Next, shloisha shabatua. Then you have three kinds of matnas aniyim that apply to grain. Halekat vat shitcha vapeya. So how do we learn those? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says of kutzrucham esirahutzachem. When you harvest the harvest of your land, loisachala pas sotcha bekutzracha. Do not clear the corner of the edge of your field when you harvest. The leket katzircha vagayim, and don't take the leket, the individual stalks that fall. And the pasuk tells us you have to leave it for the poor people. Ochtiv, and then you have, so that's two of them. Shikha, that's peya and leket. And then the pasuk tells us kisikzircha besadecha, when you're harvesting your field, the shachta oimer basada, and you forget a sheaf of grain in the field, then you have to leave it for the poor people. So therefore, you have the mitzvah of shikha. Okay, shnayim shabeilon. How do we know that with other kinds of trees you have two of them? Hashikcha vapeya, only shikcha and peya. Dichtiv kisach betzeischa loisafir acharecha. Because again, it says when you beat your olive trees, don't sefire after you. Retonet zvei Rabbi Shmuel shaleititzol tifarte mimenu. We learn in a brisa of Rabbi Shmuel that it means don't take its glory off it, which is peya. And acharecha, and when it says acharecha zeh shikcha, that refers to shikcha. So therefore, so that explains what we said in the Braisa about the various kinds of trees or the various kinds of produce, how many different matnas aniyim apply to it. Within that, there's machlokas rishonim, the machlokas rishonim, tosfos, and the rambam. What about, does it apply to all kinds of grain, or does it apply only to the five kinds that are considered grain in halacha? Let's say, for example, would peah and shikha apply to rice or other kinds of grain crops like that? And as far as trees as well, tosfos says only grain, only olives and grapes are chayiv min ha-Torah, and the rambam holds other trees are chayiv min ha-Torah as well. As far as peah, the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Peah that not all kinds of trees are subject to peah. For example, it mentions over there figs are not subject to peah because one rule of peah is that it has to be that all the produce of the tree is picked at one time, whereas figs ripen at different times. Anyway, so that covers that. Then the Braisa said, "V'chulon ein behen tovus hanah l'bailim." Now we said none of them have tovus hanah for the owner, meaning in other words that the owner can't prevent the aniyim from taking them, and he can't charge somebody to give it to a particular ani. My time, the Gemara says, why? Azivak sibahu, because by all of those, the Torah says you have to abandon them. So if it said to give them to the aniyim, then that would imply that you can give them, that you have the choice of who to give it to. But when it says tazov, that you should leave it, means that you have to leave it and it should be hefter, not that you yourself distribute it. Rashi points out some of them, it says tazoy, which actually means that. Others of them, it says yia, but that means, in other words, it should remain as it is. The point is, by none of them does it say nesina that you should give them. Okay. The Braisa had continued, v'afilu onishi b'Yisrael, metzinois in the yodei. We said, even if the owner of the field himself is poor, then you still take the matnas aniyim from him and give them to other aniyim. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Veleket tzir cholos laket." Do not gather the leket, the fallen stalks of your harvest, la'oni v'lager, tazavos, and leave them for the poor person in the ger. So therefore, so it means, we douch in the pasuk as though the words lois laket and la'oni go together. So don't gather for the poor person. Lahazir oni al shaloi, that comes to tell you, even if the person himself is poor, don't say, well, I'm poor, I should be able to take it. No, lois laket la'oni, you, I'm telling you, the oni, do not collect it. Okay. Then we said in the Braiso, Maisa Oni Amaschalak Pesecha Bais, Yesh Retovas Anah Labailim. On the other hand, Maisa Oni divided in the house, there is Tovas Anah. The owner can decide who he wants to give it to, and he can collect money from somebody else to give it to a certain person, which again, as we said, according to Rashi, that apparently means all Maisa Oni, and according to Tosfos and most other Rishonim, it means during the winter time or during certain times or whatever. My time, why is that? Nesina. Because there it says Nesina, there it says Unasata Lalevi, etc. Okay. On the other hand, we said Vafilo Oni should be Yisrael Metzia Noise Miyadei. We said even if the poor person himself is poor, you do take away the Maisa Oni from him and give it to other poor people. Where do we know that? To Amar Rabbi Ila, because Rabbi Ila says Gomer Lager Lager Mehasam. We do Xeder Shava on the word Lager from Leket. Between Maisa Oni and Leket. Malahalan Muzer Oni Al Shaloi, and we said by Leket, we said the Pasuk is telling us the poor person is not allowed to collect his own Leket. Afkan Muzer Oni Al Shaloi, the same way by Maisa Oni, the poor person is told that he can't take his own Maisa Oni. Now, then the Braisa had said, Shar Matnas Kohuna. On the other hand, when it comes to the various Matnas Kohuna, to going to Hazroel Val Chayim Vakeva, for example, Hazroel Chayim Vakeva, the subject of our parak, Ein Mitzkinoisim, Lemi Koyin Makoyin, Velemi Levi Levi, we don't take them from one Koyin to give to another Koyin, we don't take them from one Levi to give to another Levi. Now, the implication is, in other words, we're saying that you don't tell one Koyin, one Levi, that he has to give it to another Levi. Homi Levi, the Koyin Mitzkin. But it sounds like a Levi would be required to give it to a Kohen. Alma Iku On. So we see then that the Levian are called On. So you're telling me, we're talking about an Amud Aleph. The question is, when it says, V'zeyyeh Mishpat HaKohenim Me'esa On, this should be the rule for the Kohenim from the people. Does people in that sense mean the Levim as well? Now it seems very clearly that yes, well, the Braisa is saying that you do make the Levi give it to a Koyan. You're just saying you don't make the Levi give it to another Levi. So the answer is no. It means Kegoyin Hazroya Veloy Zroya. No, because it doesn't mean the actual Zroya L'Chayayim Akeva. It means something similar to the Zroya, but not the Zroya itself. My new, my submission, namely we're talking about my submission, where the Levi has to give the my submission to the Koyan.
And that we do require him to do. So it doesn't actually mean the Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Kedra. It's just using that as an, it means the other Matnas Kahuna, which are given to the Kohen. But not the Zeroyah itself, because as Rav had said on Amud Aleph, it's a suffix whether the Levi would have to be doing it. Tosfos says, in fact, that's why. If the Braitha didn't have to say to Goyin, for example, it could have just said, Shah Matnas Kahuna, the rest of the Matnas Kahuna are Zeroyah, namely the Zeroyah L'Chayayim V'Kedra. So when it says Kegoyin, it means not the actual Zeroyah L'Chayayim V'Kedra, but rather other Matnas Kahuna that are given from a Levi to the Kohen. So then why does it have to say Kegoyin Zeroyah? If it said explicitly my submission, then you would think the same thing applies to the Zeroyah L'Chayayim V'Kedra as well. Therefore it says, when it says Kegoyin HaZeroyah, it means not the Zeroyah itself, but other things that are like it, namely, for example, my submission. So that Levi does have to give it a coin, but the Zeroyah L'Chayayim V'Kedra, not necessarily because of the suffix. One says, what do you mean, my tradition to Levi? Who the my tradition belongs to the Levi? What do you mean, you make him give it to the Kohen? So the answer is, Kirub Elazar ben Azariah. The answer is that the Braisa is going like Kirub Elazar ben Azariah. That's Hanya. We learn in a Braisa, Truma la Kohen, my tradition to Levi. Truma goes to the Kohen, my tradition goes to the Levi, as it says in the Psukim. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. And that means, with Truma Davka to a Kohen, not to a Levi, and my tradition Davka to a Levi, not to a Kohen. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Afla Koyin, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says the Maaser Rishon can also go to a Koyin as well. We do in fact find a number of places in the Psukim where those Koyinim are called Levim, because after all they do come from Shevet Levi, and therefore even though the Torah says Levi by Maaser Rishon, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah learns that you can give it to a Koyin as well. So the Gemara says, okay, Emor Dama Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, after Koyin, fine, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying you can also give my tradition to a Koyin, La Koyin v'lo v'levi mi Omar. Where did he ever say that you can give it only, that it's only to a Koyin, not a Levi? So then in that case, we're back to the question, why would the Braisa be saying that you force a Levi to give the my tradition to a Koyin? Even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Levi is entitled to it. Fine, he's not the exclusive person who a Koyin is entitled to it as well, but at least you can't take it away from him. And the answer is Ein, yes, for Bosa to continue Ezra after Ezra penalized the Levian. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, based on Psukim and Sefer Ezra, that when Ezra was coming with his group to Eretz Yisrael, this is a few years after the second Bais Hamikdash had been built, so then he checked among his group, and he couldn't find any Levium, and he actually had to send messengers back to Babel to fetch some Levium to be able to serve in the Bais Hamikdash. He had the word Levium who had come, there were Levium who had come earlier, but it's explained that these were Levium who couldn't play the instruments in the Bais Hamikdash because of a whole story over there. Anyway, the point is that now the Gemara tells us that Ezra penalized the Levim because they didn't want to come up to Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agreed that there was a knas. Rabbi Akiva holds that the knas was that from now on, until now, you had to give Maaser Rishon specifically to the Levim. Now you could give it to the Kohanim as well. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, to begin with, you could give to Levim or Kohanim, and now the Levim have forfeited it, and they don't get Maaser Rishon at all. So after Ezra penalized them. Not everybody agrees, by the way, that this penalty of Ezra was for all time. The Rambam, for example, explains that Ezra penalized the Levium of his generation, because they're the ones who refused to come. So that would imply, in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion is referring to back then and not necessarily in later times. Okay, the Gemara says, Emer dekansinu Ezra, de lo yavinin lahu. Fine, Ezra penalized them that we don't give them the Maaserishon. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. By the way, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah himself is actually a descendant of Ezra. Anyway, Mishko Minayhu Miomar, did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, or even according to Ezra's Takana, are we saying that we actually take it away from them and force them to give it to the Kohanim? Fine, we're not going to give the Yisraelim, we're not going to give it to the Levium, but not that the Levium themselves should be forced to give it to the Kohanim. So it doesn't seem to work to say when the Brai said, Kigoyin Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Kedra, to say that it means my submission, it doesn't seem to work. Okay, so fine. The Gemara says, Ela Kegoin, it's Kegoin Zeroyah, Veloy Zeroyah. Fine, we still have to say that when the Braisa says Kegoin Zeroyah, like the Zeroyah L'Chayayim V'Kedra, means not exactly the Zeroyah L'Chayayim V'Kedra themselves, because again, according to what we said before, it's a suffix whether they have to give, but rather we're going to say something else which is similar to that, Omai Nihu Reishas HaGeiz. Namely, Reishas HaGeiz, there it doesn't say the word Om in the Pasuk, so Levim are definitely chayev to give to the Kohen, so that would be what the Braisa is telling us, that if a Levi shears his sheep, we do require him to give the shearings to the Kohen. There he can't get away with the excuse, yeah, but I may not be part of Om, because there it doesn't even say the word Om in the first place. Okay. Fine. Okay, so therefore, so the Braisa is not a contradiction to that, because even though the Braisa mentions Zeru L'Chayayim Bekeva, it doesn't actually mean that that itself you take from the Levim, it just gives that as a as an example of Matnas Kahuna, but really it's referring to other Matnas Kahuna. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine, but here's another question. Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, Zahakfal, Kol Dover Shor B'Kedusha, anything which has Kedusha, namely that non-Koyanim cannot eat it, to go in Truma or Trumas Maisa V'Chala, for example, Truma, Trumas Maisa and Chala, none of which of Zorah can eat, Metziyan Oysim Yodam, we take them away from the Levim and give them to the Koyanim. Anything that does not have kedusha, to go in as zuri l'chayim v'akeva, where there's such as zuri l'chayim v'akeva, where even though you do have to give them to the kohen, they have no actual kedusha in them, and zorim are allowed to eat them. Ein mitzien oisim yodam, we don't take it away from the levim. Now, the fact that the Braisa is saying that we don't take it from the levim seems to imply that the levim are definitely not chayav in it, whereas Ravid said that it's only a suffix. Now, Tosfos says, okay, what's the question? Ein mitzien because of the suffix. I'm mitzien mechaver levaraya. Fine. Tosfos says, first of all, it's not necessarily that the Tana would have a suffix. Rav, as an Uli Amoda, may have such a suffix. The Tana doesn't seem that he would have such a suffix. On the other hand, Tosfos actually brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that, in fact, the Gemara is not bringing this as a question on Rav. On the contrary, Rabbeinu Chananel says that the Gemara is bringing this as a proof for Rav. We see, you don't take it away from the Levim. Why not? Apparently because there's a suffix. Anyway, so the Gemara answers, again, Kigoyin Zeruya v'loy Zeruya Mamish. Again, when the Braisa says, for example, Zeruya l'chayayim v'keva, doesn't mean the actual Zeruya l'chayayim v'keva themselves. Maybe indeed we would take them from Levium, maybe we don't have that suffix. Omaini, or my sedition, namely my sedition, or the Vosid of Consinu Ezra, and as we said, after Ezra penalized them, and that the Levium are not entitled to my sedition. So now the Braisa is saying, we don't give Yisraelim, don't give it to them, but nevertheless we don't take it away from them. If a Levi has produce and takes out my tradition from it, we'll allow him to keep it. We're not going to force him to give it to the Kohen even after Ezra Sakana. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, fine, let's bring another proof to see whether Levium are higher than in these matones or not. Toshma, we learn in a Mishnah, we'll learn tomorrow about Sashem. Ashrechet l'koyin, if a person shechts an animal for a koyin, so the animal actually belongs to the koyin, and now he brings it to a shechet to shecht for him, or if a Jew is shechting an animal on behalf of a goy, so again, the animal belongs to a goy, and he brings it to a yid to shecht, potter min ha-matonis, then he's potter from the matonis. Namely, the Gemara is going to explain later on that basically it's the shechet who has to give them. So now, in other words, we're saying because the animal belongs to a kohen or because it belongs to a goy, then therefore he's potter. So hol a levi or yisrael, also implying though that if he shechted for a levi or for yisrael, then he would be then a chayev. It sounds like he would be chayev. So you see that a levi is chayev to give the matanis. And the answer is lo tem levi yisrael chayev. Fine, don't infer from the braisa that it means that if he shechts for a levi or yisrael is chayev, ela emahal li yisrael chayev. Infer from it that it means if he shechts for yisrael, then he's chayev because there's no question yisraelim are chayev in matonis. Don't infer from that anything about a levi. So the Gemara says, Abel Levi Mai, so what are you telling me that if he checks for a Levi potter, you're going to say also he's potter, Ihochi, listening as Shechet the Levi, or Ovid Gachavim, potter mena matonis. Then why mention if he checks for a Kohen, say if he checks for a Levi or for a Goy, then he's potter from matonis, and we would understand by Kavachomer, if he's potter, even when he checks for a Levi, how much more so when he checks for a Kohen? Not only that, the Gemara says, Hotanya, don't we learn in a Braisa, Hashoichet l'koyin ul'oid g'chavim potter min ha-matonis? Another Braisa says more clearly, if he shechts for a koyin or for a goy, he's potter from matonis, l'levi u'l'yisrael chayev. But if he shechts for a levi or for Yisrael, he's chayev. Two of the derav. Isn't that a clear contradiction on Rav? Here we have a Braisa that explicitly says that a levi is chayev in the matonis, and therefore even though the levi is the owner of the animal, then you still have to take away the matonis from him and give to the koyin. The answer is Amalach Rav Tanoi. Rav will answer to you. You should know what it's actually a machlokas tanoim, whether Levium are in the category of or not. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now you have like this. You have a number of different korbanos that are brought on Yom Kippur,
and you have different korbanos of them on the chaper on behalf of different people. At the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, the Mishnah and the Gemara have a long discussion about it. So now you have a pasuk that says like this. At the end of the, near the end of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, you have a pasuk that goes, "V'chipir es mikdash hakodesh." He should atone for the holiness of the holy place. "V'es oyel moyed v'es hamizbeach echaper." He should atone for the oyel moyed, the mishkan, and the mizbeach. "V'al hakoyinim v'akol amakol yechaper." And he should atone for the koyinim and all the people of the congregation. Now we know there are a number of different places where the blood of the korbanos of Yom Kippur is sprinkled. You have two korbanos, the power of the Kohen Gadol and the Soyer, Lashem, where the blood is taken into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkled over there, and then on the Paroichas and then on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So which one accomplishes Kapsa? So first of all, let's understand the phrases in the pasuk, v'chipper es mikdash hakodesh zelafnai v'lefnim. When it says he should atone for the holy of the holy, that means fnai v'lefnim. This is an avoda that's machaper in case there had been tumor in the kodesh hakodashim. In case at some point, Rashi points out, in general, the par and the sur of Yom Kippur are machaper, not so much for all averus. For those you have other korbanos, in particular, for those you have the sur la'azazel, is machaper for other averus. The par and sur of Yom Kippur, in particular, are machaper for tumas mikdash for kodeshev, placed cases where a person went into the bis mikdash or ate korbanos when he's tomei and didn't know about it. So you have certain cases where a person has to actually bring a korban out of a yored of his own, a korban of his own, and then you have cases that are covered by this par and sur. So now, so it says, Mikdash HaKodesh means Lefnai V'Lefnim, means in case there had been Tumah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When it says that he should atone as Oyel Moyed is a Heichel, that refers to the rest of the Heichel, so in case there had been Tumah there, Mizbeach Tamashmai. The word Mizbeach means what it sounds like, where he was Tumah and he served on the Mizbeach. Rashi points out that if a person served on the Mizbeach, again, he should have to bring a korban of his own. Now what you have is, Rashi explains, if he became Tomei in the Azara, then you have a halacha l'moshe miskina, he won't be chayev even for a korban unless he stays there long enough to bow. But now we're talking about where he became, so now we're talking about he became Tomei. He did an avoda without that kind of delay. It's like on his way out of the Bais Mikdash. He's going on the most direct route out, and on the way he does an avoda without any pause. So now he's not chayef for Tumas Mikdash, his own korban, but never, so now the korban will be mechaper for him. When the pasuk is Yechaper, he will atone. We again had already said V'chipper, he should atone. So why does he repeat Yechaper? Elo Azores, that refers to a tumah in the Azora. Koyinim Kamashmoy, the word Koyinim means the Koyinim, if they entered the Bais Mikdash or did the Avoida when they were tumah and they didn't realize it. Am HaKol, and when it says the people of the congregation, Elo Yisrael, that refers to the Yisraelim. And when it finishes off with another time, Yechaper, he should atone, Elo HaLevim, that refers to the Levim. So we see that the pasuk spells out explicitly that words for the Koyanim and the Levim and the Yisraelim, that for all of them this Korban is Mechaper. Now, that's one b'raisa. V'tanya idach, yet another b'raisa says, Yechaper Elo Avodim, that the last word Yechaper actually includes Avodim Knanim, if they entered if they entered the Bais Mikdash when they're Tomei. Rashi points out, any mitzvah, the general rule is mitzvahs that women are chayavin, avodim knanim are chayavin, so and any punishments in the Torah, men and women are equal, therefore if an eved knani were to enter the Bais Mikdash when he's Tomei, then he would also be chayav, kores, b'mezin, and a korban olav yored b'shogim, and therefore he also needs a kapara. Okay, so you have one braisa that says Yechaper refers to the Levim, and the other one says the Levim are included, the Pashtus, the other one says the Levim are included in the Yisraelim, and the Yechaper comes to teach us about Avodim Knanim. So, the Gemara says, my lab b'hokam mitzvah. Well, wouldn't we say that's the underlying machlokas? The Mar Sova Ikru Om, the second braisa holds that Levim are included in the category of Om, the people, and therefore the word Yechaper is not needed for them, and we can learn it from the Abati Avodim from it. Or Marasava, La Yikru Om, as opposed to the first Braisa, says they're not called Om, they're not called part of the people in general, they're not part of Am HaKol, and therefore we need a special word Yechaper for them. So therefore, Rav's opinion, who says that when Rav says that we're not sure if the Levim are part of Ha'om or not, that would reflect the difference between these two Braises. So they want to ask, which one does he hold? Like Rav, Yisvira lekahai tana lema, v'yisvira lekahai tana lema. Fine, whichever tana he holds, like he should say like it. Why is he saying that it's a suffix? And the answer is misapkula, yikahai tana. Fine, that's exactly Rav's suffix, which tana to follow. So therefore, he has a suffix whether the Levim are part of Om or not. So the Gemara says, Dorash Meremer, Meremer gave a Dorasha, Hilchas HaKavaseh deRab, the Halacha is like Rab, that it's a suffix whether Levium are in the category of Om, and therefore whether the Chayev, and whether the Chayev is Zeroy L'Chayah in the Keva. So again, they should give to the Kohen, but we can't force them to because of the suffix, because I'm Motzimach of Elamaniah. The Hilchas HaKavaseh deRav Chista, the Halacha is also like Rav Chista in the Sugya that we learned, that we started yesterday and continued today, about if somebody damages or eats the matnas kohona, he would be potter because, as we said, either because there's a potter that tells him that implies that he's potter, or because it's mom and shein like tovim, because it's property that doesn't have a specific owner, because there's no specific kohen who there's no specific kohen who can say it belongs to me when it wasn't given to him yet.